Hi, everybody. This is C.L. Thomas. Welcome to The Gateway, your compass through the magical waters of spirit communication, broadcast from United Public Radio 107.7 FM New Orleans. So I've been traveling a lot the past few weeks, and of course, I've come back sick. So I have this deep, sexy voice that you're going to have to deal with for the next hour. Hopefully, I'll get through it without having any choking fits. That tends to happen. And if it does, I'm going to relay on my guest for tonight. He is very, very good. I'm really excited to have him. And we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics ever, ITC communication. And it's the reason why I got into the paranormal field to begin with 10 years ago. I've been seeing ghosts since I was a very young child and always been interested in how do we communicate with that other side? That's always been the big question for me. So my guest tonight, he researched white noise, and his invention called Staticom is kind of like an improvement of the use of a vacuum tube radio, if you've heard of that. Anyone that is kind of like a para nerd that kind of studies ITC communications and things like that. I'm going to let him actually talk about this more because he's obviously knows a lot more than I do. So paranormal researcher and ITC specialist Tony Rothman joins me now. Tony, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, the invention of Staticom came from four people, myself, my wife, and then two counterparts of our, Ron Iacovetti and Lourdes Gonzalez. And when you were speaking about a vacuum tube radio, that was used by Frederick Jurgensen, Marcello Bacci. And basically the way that operated was, unlike spirit boxes or ghost boxes today, which will scan up and down at different speeds, the actual radio stations in the radio dial, direct radio voice would sit on a vacant station. So there'd be no broadcast. It was just white noise that was used to communicate. And Marcello Bacci used this method for about 40 years. And he was even tested by scientists where they put him in a lab. They asked him to get voices. He was able to do it. They even went as far as starting to remove the vacuum tubes. They took out the first one. He was still able to get voices. They removed the second one. He was still able to get voices. They removed the third and final one. He was still able to get voices. So there was no reasonable scientific explanation for how this was occurring. So our partners, Ron and Lourdes, decided, hey, you know, spirit boxes are great. They've used them for years. My wife and I, we've built them for 12 years. We have about 14 of them sitting in the house we don't even use anymore now because of Staticom. But they went back and said, this method got lost in the history of ITC and spirit communication. When the television shows hit the market, people saw spirit boxes and they went out and they bought and they used everything they saw on television.
Yeah, and they thought that was the only thing.
Correct. Right. Mm-hmm. But television did both good and bad, following exactly what they're using, people not doing research, that's the bad. The good part was is that it opened doors, allowed people to talk about it more openly and freely today, which is fantastic. But what Ron and Lourdes did was we're gonna try this method. We're gonna get a world band radio, put it on a blank static station, and for about 2 years, twice a week, they sat down for an hour to 3 hours a night and literally ask questions to static.
Just in your own home, or did you have to go to haunted locations for this?
Nope, they did this right in their own home. And they were able eventually, it took some time, but eventually they started to hear responses come through. So then they made a few adjustments. A friend of both of ours, Keith Clark from company called Veranormal figured out that they could take white noise and filter it through a computer. So it uses what's called VST, or virtual studio technology, which is basically a audio studio, like where you'd go to sing, and it's every piece of equipment in that studio electronically on a computer. So you can take noise away, you can filter signal, you can change frequency, vibrations, everything under the sun. So they started to filter it. Well, they did a demonstration for us when we went there to visit the four mansion tour, four haunted mansions in 4 days, which was absolutely fantastic, but exhausting. But this is the first time I had seen direct radio voice. And he was getting full sentence answers, not a single word. There was no static being displayed. The answers were not difficult to hear. You know, you could have 10 people in a room and 8 or 9 of them would say, yep, that's exactly what I heard. So I thought, wow, this is incredible. So my wife and I said to him, hey, can we join your team and make this better? Turn it into Edison's dream device of the phone to the dead. And that's what we did. So just as a real brief history, direct radio voice used a radio and it would sit on a vacant radio signal. The problem with that is any scientist or any skeptic's going to say, no matter what voice comes through, no matter what you hear, you're getting stray radio waves. Whether you're on a station or not, the radio is designed to do that. It's designed to take radio signals and alter them, manipulate them, and allow the human being to hear it and interact with it. So we were doing some tests. Ron and Lourdes are on the East Coast. They were in a 30 feet underground in the zinc mine. They realized that everybody who had a spirit box, even cell phones, at that depth underground, everything died. Yet they were still able to get voices using direct radio voice. And then I did a test during a live presentation in about 30 or 40 people. I didn't use the radio. I used a sleep machine that had white noise on it. And I got a response to the question that I asked. So that was sort of the two steps that told us we didn't need the radio. We didn't need radio stations. We didn't need anything except white noise to get answers, both that are intelligent and with timing and frequency to the questions that we asked. And so today, Staticom, we had to change the name because there's no radio involved anymore. We can't call it DRV. It uses a white noise generator, which cannot pick up radio waves, cannot pick up cell phones, satellite dishes, walkie-talkies, baby monitors, nothing. And white noise has no audio data in it at all. So technically, any voice you hear shouldn't be there in the first place.
Have you ever tried this with a faraway box or anything like that?
We've not compared it to other devices yet, just because we're still in the research stage of what it can do. People always ask us, well, have you done this? Have you done that? There are probably a million questions people say, well, did you ask how the pyramids were built? Did you ask this? The research that it'll take with Staticom is a lifetime, and we know that's going to happen. So have a lot of tests been done against different devices? The only thing we've put it up against are mediums, and we've gotten some fantastic results.
What were some of the results?
The medium would say something, say, well, I'm feeling this or I'm seeing this, and then Staticom would turn around and repeat exactly what they just said they were feeling or that they thought vocally. Oh, right. So everyone in the room could hear it.
So some people out there probably don't know what ITC even is. So just real quick, can you sure. kind of say, just give us a little bit of terminology here. Marcello Bossi, he was a known metaphonist. I forget what century he was in. 1950s?
Yeah, he started out in the 50s, and did ITC, which is instrumental trans communication, up until about the mid-80s, I think.
But yeah, he died at like 92 or something like that.
Correct.
So what is the comparison with this work? I know you've already said it a little bit, but is there anything in relation toward Edison and Tesla at all in any of their creations?
Well, nobody knew exactly what Edison's creation was, the phone to the dead. Tesla had some prototypes, but there was never anything shown of use. So no one knows whatever box they had, whether it actually used. So to compare it to what they were planning to build or to develop is really difficult because it was never functional or operational, whereas Staticom is. The only thing I can say about Tesla is that even outside of the paranormal, Tesla said, if you want to understand the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. Mm-hmm. Well, broadband white noise, which is the only media we use to communicate, and this is two-way communication. Broadband white noise is made up of energy, frequency, and vibration.
It's so interesting. You've appeared on a lot of different TV shows and podcasts. I haven't asked you this yet, but how did you get into all of this?
I blame my wife. when the shows first came out, she was fascinated with them. And every night she'd be watching a different one. She'd be like, you got to come watch this. You got to sit down, just watch. I'd last about 2 minutes and I'd look at her and I was a complete non-believer. I'd look at her and I'd say, come on, this isn't real. This is for entertainment only. This is just television. And so I'd walk away. And then one Valentine's Day, 14 years ago, she tricked me. And we'd normally go to a hotel, hang by the pool for Valentine's Day weekend or week or whatever days it was. And she said, I want to do something different this year. I said, okay, what do you want to do? She said, I want to go ghost hunting. And I was like, oh, boy. Well, I had two choices. I could take her or I could have her mad at me until next Valentine's Day. So obviously, being a good husband, I took her. We spent the whole weekend. I played along with her. I investigated with her. I asked questions. I think I bought her a night vision camera, video camera, EMF meter, and a digital recorder. And so I played along with her. We asked questions in a hotel that there were two other guests in the whole thing. It was seven floors. So no one was around us. So we spent the entire night wandering around asking questions. But when she got the stuff home, that's when I was blown away. There were things in the photographs that weren't there when we took them. There were voices answering our questions when there was no one around. There were just anomaly after anomaly that I couldn't explain. And having a scientific background, it kind of drove me nuts. For about 2 months, I tried to figure out a reasonable explanation. And finally, I said, let's go back. Maybe there was a vent we weren't aware of that voice was coming through. Maybe there was lighting casting shadows that we didn't catch when we took these pictures. Well, we went back. None of that was the case. And we got even more evidence. And that was 2010. And now we're in 2024. And so 14 years later, we heavily involved in the paranormal.
In your years of being an investigator, have you seen a lot of changes for the good with the field? Well,
yes and no. And that depends on, you know, everybody's different and everybody has their own method of investigating or researching, and that's fine. Matter of fact, that's needed in order to progress. The problem comes in, the biggest problem that comes in is in the ego. When people think or say things, negative things about other people who are investigators, try to protect properties because they think it's theirs or it's their evidence, or, you know, I mean, figuring out what's going on within the paranormal is going to take more than a handful of people. It's going to take everybody to put the pieces of the puzzle together to be able to determine what kind of picture we're looking at. And that is the negative side of it, without a doubt. And then the other negative is that the shows, because they're network controlled, get turned and twisted into things that truly rarely happen on the paranormal side. Rarely happen.
And then sometimes I've heard that some of the evidence doesn't even get to the audience either, because the director doesn't know how to interpret it, or it's correct. Not exciting enough.
You know, doesn't blah, think blah, it's blah. Valid or.
Yeah.
Right. That happens.
Yeah. So back to your investigating, can you explain some of the primary methods or technologies you employ? You've already talked about the technologies, but in your ITC research, do you have like a certain thing that you do or a method?
Well, when we first got involved in the paranormal, EVPs absolutely fascinated me. I wanted to know where this voice was coming from, answering a question I asked with timing and relevance and with an intelligent answer. How does that happen? How can that be happening? So even EVP, when you put a recorder down, is a form of ITC. Now it's called record and review because you don't hear the answers until after, when you go back and you listen to your recording. And then most people will take it when they think they hear something and they'll go try to denoise it. They'll try to amplify it. They'll try to speed it up, slow it down, reverse it. Mm-hmm. That's the great thing about Staticom. It does that all live. It filters it. It slows it down. And we are the first people to ever take live white noise and slow it down in real time. And the reason we do that is because some of the voices from spirit, consciousness, whatever term you want to use for it, come in so fast that not only can your brain not interpret it that quickly, but human vocals couldn't even speak that fast. So we know they're not coming from a human-bodied individual. So Staticom does it all live. But the best thing about even an EVP is that, you know, if you have an EMF meter and it's flashing, yeah, what's that telling you? Okay, there's a change in the electromagnetic frequency around you. But what else does it tell you? Not much. When you hear an EVP, I can tell you if that's a man or a woman. I can tell you if it's an adult or a child. I can hear if there's an accent or territorial dialect in their speech. I can tell their mood. Are they happy? Are they angry? Are they upset? That to us was absolutely fascinating, which is what drove us down ITC, EVP, research, and development.
How does the white noise in Staticom create a frequency that spirits can communicate through? What's your general theory on this?
Sure. Broadband white noise is every sound the human ear can hear, from 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz. Human hearing cannot hear underneath 20 hertz, and it cannot hear above 20 kilohertz. So it's basically every frequency at a constant level. When a spirit speaks, they will cover some of those frequencies within that huge spectrum. When that happens, their voice will get elevated because of stochastic resonance, which is, it's basically like if you had a single bee buzzing a foot from your head, or you had the whole hive buzzing a foot from your head, that sound gets elevated. And that's how this works. When they speak, they cover a certain set of frequencies within the broadband white noise. And people always ask us, well, what frequencies do they speak at? They're all over the board. That's why we use the entire broadband white noise spectrum, because it varies. The same voice can vary from sentence to sentence. But then what happens is that voice gets elevated, the broadband white noise stays at its same level. And then we use the computer program to skim off the bottom white noise and only hear the voice. So it's stochastic resonance is how that's occurring, we believe.
Are there any challenges or obstacles to this technology when you're conducting ITC research?
Well, I guess that depends on how you define challenges or obstacles. Not knowing the majority of the variables that are involved on the paranormal side. I mean, it's not like we can lift up the curtain and look and say, oh, okay, that's how it's working. that's a variable in itself. Not knowing what happens on the other side makes it a challenge every day. People ask us, well, can you do this? Can you do that? We don't know the boundaries of Staticom yet, nor do we know the boundaries of the paranormal realm. So not having that information, knowing 100 variables when there's probably a couple hundred million, those are challenges without a doubt. What do we do next? What's our next test? How do we know this is working? How do we know this is working correctly? How do we improve it? Those are all challenges we face daily.
Well, Tony, I really want to get to some of these EVPs that you've sent over to me. There's about 8 of them. I think the best way to do this is to have you talk a little bit about them before, and then we'll play them. Does that sound good?
Sure.
So the first one, can you please say Staticom?
All right. So this was just a test. This was one of the earlier ones. We were running it in our house. And this is to show the timing and relevance of the responses. So anybody who knows or has played with spirit boxes, you take that box into a haunted location. And that's the great thing about Staticom is you don't even have to be at a haunted location because they can communicate from anywhere.
It's really intriguing. I definitely want to talk more about that in a minute, but continue.
So I was just randomly asking certain sets of questions to determine which ones they'd answer, how quickly the answer would come in. And of course, we were still developing it at this point and how clear they would come in. So the short clip you're going to play is just an example of that.
So Joe, can you play that clip, please?
Do you miss your family that you leave behind? Do you have children?
If you want to communicate with us, say Staticom. I thought spirits wanted to communicate.
Can we hear you say Staticom, please?
Ask, can you please say Staticom? That might have been.
Do you miss your family that you leave behind? Do you have children?
If you want to communicate with us, say Staticom. I thought spirits wanted to communicate.
Can we hear you say Staticom, please?
Ask, can you please say Staticom? That might have been.
So you can hear that plain as day.
Right.
The spirit's right in the room with you.
Correct. And if you hear the two-way communication from a timing and relevant standpoint, I ask a question, they answer. The answer is timed to the question asked, and the answer is relevant to the question asked. The other advantage is that it's intelligent. I mean, you're dealing with broadband white noise, yet these voices, these responses, these intelligent responses are answering questions we ask.
And how do you know that it's not some sort of interference from another radio wave or something like that?
Good question. The reason we know that is because the only device being used is a white noise generator, which is nothing more than a computer chip that takes each frequency, puts it at a constant level, and blends them together. There is no apparatus to take any wave and convert it to sound. It doesn't exist within the application of Staticom. And it's a closed circuit.
It's interesting that you say that you can have a conversation with a spirit not in a haunted location. I think because of the TV shows, the paranormal world thinks that we have to go to these incredibly expensive locations now to communicate with spirit. And that's just not the case. Here you're saying you got proof of this, that you can do it in your own home.
Well, not only that, but it also tells us that getting a vocal response does not indicate that a location is haunted, because that spirit can be answering from anywhere.
Yeah, that's correct. Because there's no time and space in the spirit world.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've said that quite a bit, especially when you come across haunted locations like the Bellwitch Cave is one of them. I really don't believe that location is actually haunted. I think people are calling in at that time with the experiences they're getting. And Robert the Doll is another one. I don't believe that doll is haunted. I believe that people go there and call that stuff in.
Could very well be. Right.
That's my theory anyway. But anyway, I'm really excited about these. Let's play another one. Okay. Energy of your mind. That's another one that you sent. What's going on with this one?
Okay, so this was a question. When we, like I said, Staticom has no way to pick up any radio wave, any satellite, walkie-talkie, nothing. It does not have the capability to do that, which was why we got rid of the radio, because, like I said, it was low-hanging fruit for the skeptic to say, you're picking up radio waves. Well, if they can tell us how these voices are coming to us or where they're coming from, we would love to hear it. But the question I want to know is that we don't broadcast our voice. We're not using mics. It's not being sent electronically anywhere. It's not being broadcast through any type of wave. I'm speaking in my home, just as I'm speaking now, without the mic here, obviously, so that I can be heard on the show. But my question to them was, you don't have a physical body anymore. You don't have ears. I'm speaking and producing sound waves. Ears are designed to capture that sound wave, let that vibration go through the follicles in the ear and translate through the brain into speech. They don't have any of that if they are now just energy. So my question was real simply, how do you hear me speak?
Joe, can you play that clip, please?
How do you hear me speak? How do you hear me speak?
So, in other words, it's telepathically.
That's one word for it, yes. But it explains a lot. And that's one of the things we try to do when we are researching is not just, you know, a lot of people call themselves researchers and what they're really doing is just going out for a night and, you know, having some fun. Mm-hmm. But we were looking for answers that fit the puzzle that we believed we were putting the pieces into. So I'm trying to remember what your question was to me.
I do that all the time. So the spirit world, a lot of people think this too, like a lot of mediums and stuff. Like I pick up stuff as a medium telepathically a lot. It's hard to explain. So it's not like I audibly hear something. I'll pick up something and if you're in a room, you won't hear it, but I will. It's almost like a telepathic thing. So that's kind of how I like to look at it. So I'm wondering.
Yeah, no, then you reminded me what I was going to say. But the whole fact of that I can be screaming at the top of my lungs, they're not picking up my message that way. What we, and a good example of this, and this is where I was saying, is we try to fit pieces together. But have you ever been out doing an EVP session and you're asking a question and you realize that the answer shows up on the recorder before you even finished asking the question? Well, their answer to us, that energy of the mind, that's the thing, explains how that then can occur, because I don't need to speak it. The second I think it and it's in my thought, which then we believe that every individual is consciousness, which is part of a greater or mega meta consciousness, that goes out. So that's how they can interpret what we're going to ask. And there's a clip coming up where I can show another example of exactly what I'm talking about right now. But they don't need me to physically say it. You can just think it and they will be able to pick up on it.
Hi, Joe Fox. I'm sorry, I had to say hi to Joe on here. So one question that comes up, though, and I know other people out there are probably asking the same thing. When you get those EVPs that are like stone tape things that are just, you know, energy played over and over again, they're not intelligent. Do you ever pick up anything like that?
Rarely. But again, you know, you gotta determine whether you really believe in the stone tape theory. I mean, science says it's physically impossible for an inanimate object that is just 3D material to be able to capture and release emotion. And so there's some real problems in the theology of stone tape theory. Are there certain elements that can hold energy and release it? Absolutely. Quartz. There are some, but does it go to the level of what the stone tape theory suggested? I'm not sure. I don't have those answers. But what I do know is that consciousness exists. Consciousness is the one thing science can't explain today. They can't measure it. They can't determine it. They can't understand where it comes from. But science was never built to determine what something is or where it came from. Science measures, determines predictability of future behavior. That's what science does. They can't do that with consciousness. They also can't do that with the taste of a strawberry. They can't do that with falling in love and how that feels. It's unmeasurable to them. Consciousness, we believe, is the be-all, end-all to life and what survives death. And it's under a theory of analytical idealism that consciousness, being the key element of life, is what determines every other aspect after it.
Do they ever tell you what the other side is like?
Yeah, to a degree. There is what we call, and this is just based on years of research, but it's what we call universal laws, meaning they'll just stop talking or they won't answer questions. Like, I can tell you one we've tried for 10 years, they don't answer, is what's the Powerball numbers? But the reason that they've explained, or that we believe based off of when we know we hit that wall, is that life is a learning experience for the consciousness, soul, spirit, whatever you want to call it. Too much information would absolutely destroy your process of learning, understanding, and growing from this concept. It's the same thing as like when you turn your computer on and you see a folder, you know, if you double click that, you'll see files in that folder. Those are just representations. You're not seeing all the data of zeros and ones that actually make up those folders and what's in that folder, because you'd become entropic soup. Your mind would melt trying to interpret all of that. It's the same thing we believe with life. We're limited to our five senses through the human body. Those five senses give us a digital dashboard of what life is like around us, sort of like an instrument panel in an airplane. Can the pilot land that plane if the windows were blocked out by the instruments? He could, but those instruments don't tell him truly what's outside. Only looking through the window can he get an interpretation if he's heading towards a mountain or the ground. And so those instruments give him the information he needs to fly the plane, but he'd never trust those over knowing he's heading to hit a mountain. He would turn the plane regardless of what the instruments said. Our five senses are a representation of those instruments.
So your next one is kind of interesting. It's titled Extraterrestrials. Do you want to talk about that real quick?
This was an upgrade we did a few weeks ago. We had Staticom. Now we have Staticom 2.0 because we cleared the voices even more than they originally were. And we started asking questions. And one of the questions I wanted to know was, they will actually answer and say that they are spirit. So I said, well, if I can speak to spirit and you told me this is energy of the mind, can I speak to extraterrestrials? And that was the question I asked.
I love it. Joe, can you play that clip, please?
Spirits, can you hear me? That doesn't sound like English. What language are you speaking?
Turkish.
Okay. You're speaking Turkish?
Yeah.
Hmm. I only speak English. Can you speak to me in English? Yes, okay. Thank you. I heard you say spirits. Can I speak with extraterrestrials?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, I would think if I can speak with spirits, I should be able to speak with extraterrestrials too, right?
Wow.
How do you hear me speak?
Spirits, can you hear me? That doesn't sound like English. What language are you speaking?
Turkish.
You're speaking Turkish?
Yeah.
Hmm. I only speak English. Can you speak to me in English? Yes, okay. Thank you. I heard you say spirits. Can I speak with extraterrestrials?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think if I can speak with spirits, I should be able to speak with extraterrestrials too, right?
So one of the common theories that's out there in the paranormal world, that, and I've come across this too, in the grand collectiveness of thought and spirit, it seems like we all should be able to communicate, even if we don't speak German or French or something like that, right?
Right. Right.
Does any of your work prove that once you die, you kind of, through telepathy or whatever it is that you're communicating through, does it bypass language?
I don't know. I would be able to comment on it bypassing language, but I mean, language is a human construct. So is time. So is linear space. All of the scientific materialistic things are determined and are man-made. So we know they're not restrained by time and space. We've literally had three of us connected in three different parts of the country live, like we're doing now, only one of us running Staticom in New Jersey, Cherie and I in Phoenix, and Chris and Audra in North Carolina. Chris wrote a word on a piece of paper, and Ron in New Jersey said, what word did Chris write down? And in a matter of less than a second, they were able to look at the word, come back to his staticom to answer so we all could hear. And they said the word, which Chris had written zebra. They came back and said zebra. So, you know, we always test these things, but, you know, there's just so much to have to go through. But the best thing about staticom is that the results are unlike anything we've seen before. And the communication is relevant, two-way communication with timing and relevance to the questions asked and intelligent answers.
This is just so mind-blowing. I just love this. So the next clip, it says, let's touch Tony. And I'm kind of excited about this one.
So this was a place called the Montgomery House in North Carolina. And the six of us, the Entity Voices team, went to go investigate this house. And we were running staticom up on the second floor. And Chris, who has some sensitive, and Audra have sensitive abilities, Chris turned to me and said, there's something behind you. And then staticom said, what you're going to play.
Can you stop talking and let spirits that are in this house answer our questions?
What?
Okay. Keep going, please, because I can hear it blessing. That was a yes, it sounded like. Can you stop talking and let spirits that are in this house answer our questions?
What?
Okay. Keep going, please, because I can hear it blessing.
So I gotta ask, did they touch you?
No, luckily that time they didn't. Probably because Chris said it. Chris is like, God, there's something behind you.
So this other one that you have, there's eight of them all together, guys. And I do want to play all eight because this is just so fascinating to me. This next clip is called No Cops.
Okay, so this was the same house, the Montgomery House. We were upstairs, and Lourdes asked a real simple question. She said, what's your favorite part of the house? We were expecting the library, the study, the den, you know, a room, something that's not the answer they gave. Now, just for reference, this house was on 5,000 acres. It was out in the middle of nowhere. There was no one around. They were so far from the nearest town or city that no one would have been coming out to bug them, bother them, no police, no nothing, unless they had a half a day or more horse ride out there. But
was this like a bootleggers or something like that?
No, it was a wealthy family back in the early 1800s, built this house. It's still standing today. And Chris and Audra were able to get a hold of it and be able to do paranormal investigations. So we went to check it out. But when Lourdes asked the question, what's your favorite part of the house? This is the answer that came through.
Joe, can you play that clip?
What's your favorite part of this house?
What room?
What's your favorite part of this house?
What room?
How did you guys react to that at the time?
Blown away, because, you know, people, there's theories that go around that say, well, if you're using a spirit box or any form of ITC, that it's your thoughts coming through the device. Well, I tell you, if that was true, every Monday morning when I was driving to work, my radio would just be screaming, I hate Mondays. I don't want to do this. That never happens, but it would. So, you know, we've been experimenting, researching now for years with DRV and Staticom. But in the last year, we've made such great strides forward that it takes a lot to blow us away. But the best part about that response was it wasn't typical. You even heard her say at the end, "What room?" But that's not the answer they gave. So he explained, no cops, children can play, house has safety. Only after we heard it, and I don't have that to show, but we're like, that is a an answer with intelligence and timing and relevance to what we asked, and it fit perfectly.
It does. It's just mind blowing. This is great evidence. So the next one you have up here is say hi to Ron.
Oh, okay. Well, as I was explaining before about the distant communication, there's only two Staticoms, true Staticoms, on the entire planet. Ron and Lourdes have one in New Jersey. Sheree and I have the other in Phoenix. But they will communicate back and forth between us. They will leave him messages about me. He can ask questions and get answers. Like I was doing a live Staticom session. He knew I was doing it that night, but that's all he knew. He asked.
And this is the spirit world, not the boxes, the spirit world, right?
What do you mean boxes?
The Staticom boxes or whatever it is you're using.
It's a method. It's not like a spirit box. It's okay. Literally a communication method, but there's only two of them that exist. But Ron asked how many people I had at my presentation. They answered him correctly. Hadn't spoken to him that day. Then the following day, he called me and said, "Hey, how many people were at your presentation?" And he said, "Was it such and such?" And I said, "Oh my God, how did you?" And then he explained. And we've had this happen over and over and over.
Joe, can you play that clip?
Can you stop talking and let spirits that are in this house answer our questions? Okay, keep going, please, because I can hear it blessing. That was a yes, like. Can you stop talking and let spirits that are in this house answer our questions? Okay, keep going, please, because I can hear it blessing.
So I think he played the wrong one. So the clip is say hi to Ron. Joe, can you play that? I think he lost a clip, but that's okay. So let's see. In your opinion, do you think that anyone can communicate in your house without using this kind of equipment for ITC research?
Yeah, I mean, we all know spirit boxes work. Their limitation falls within the method that was theorized, that spirits would put together fragments of radio into their own sentences. They don't need the radio station at all. The radio stations, as it scans through them, only breaks up the communications. That's why you get a single word or a real short answer, because they're literally only using the white noise in the fragments of seconds in between the stations. When we went to straight white noise, we didn't have that limitation. We could get longer, full sentences. The longest communication I think we have is over a minute and 10 seconds. It's one around in Lourdes where this gentleman's speaking and he's upset because they're not taking the paranormal seriously or the dangers of the darker side of the paranormal. But can anyone do it? Yeah. I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't be able to. Anybody who uses equipment All the equipment does, and people always say, well, does this equipment give you special abilities? No. My abilities are locked. My hearing at a certain range, my sight to the visible visible spectrum of light only. All the device does is takes a signal that I wouldn't be able to pick up on my own and translate it to where my senses can interpret it. The same way there's radio signals going by me right now. But unless I have a radio on, I'm not going to hear them.
Is there any danger, in your opinion, for inviting stuff into your home and trying to?
There's always a danger because people always ask, how do you know who you're talking to? We don't. So that danger can never be overlooked. It can never be forgotten, and it can never be relaxed. You always have to be aware, you know, we don't know the variables. We don't know who we're talking to. But have we had any negative situations in the years that we've been working from DRV to Staticom? No. We've had some darker ones and some ones that are cautioning against things, but nothing like Hollywood displays. Nothing at all.
So in your opinion, with this new research, and I really apologize, I'm starting to lose my voice. What are the potential implications of ITC research for our understanding of consciousness, the afterlife, and other related areas? What future directions do you see for the paranormal?
Well, lots. If consciousness did not survive death, then we would have no voices. Because we know we're not getting radio. It doesn't have the ability to do that. We know we're not getting signals from satellite walkie-talkies, which means the only thing that can be manipulating this closed system of white noise, input, filtered, and output is something of pure energy, consciousness, spirit, whatever you want to call it. That, to me, is proof alone with giving intelligent answers that the consciousness survives death. Now, is that an easy subject to accept? No, because it challenges science, every aspect of science. Science says when your body dies, the brain creates consciousness, and when that dies, consciousness is gone. Well, clearly it's not, or I wouldn't be getting any responses.
Tony, we are almost out of time, but I do want to play another of these clips, and it's the one that has 300.
Okay.
Can we talk about that one real quick?
Yeah, well, I mean, there was lots of times, even with spirit boxes, I would ask how many spirits are here. And I'd get, you know, one, two, maybe three if I was lucky. This time, I got a completely different answer. Such a high number that I asked again, did you say this? And then, you know, the other great part about this response was they ended the response with sort of a satirical response, like, you know, was that not correct? Or, you know, I'll let you play it. But and you can hear the tone of voice, you can hear the emotion. We had Staticom tested by audio engineers, and they came back and said, you know, the craziest thing about this is that the speech we're hearing dictates the same diphthongs and speech that human vocals create, and that can't occur from randomness. There's emotion, there's accent, there's a dialogue, there's emotional pitches in the speech, and you'll hear that in this clip.
Joe, can you play that clip, please?
Yeah.
How many spirits are with us right now?
300.
300? Yeah. Yeah. Did you say 300?
So the next time you go to the bathroom in a very haunted place and it feels like the room gets crowded all of a sudden, it just very well may be 10 or more spirits in that room.
But, you know, the funniest thing about that is not that they confirmed that they said 300, but that he's like, is that the wrong answer? Like, questioning me why I'm questioning them. So it's just, you know, that can't happen out of randomness. It can't.
Do you ever speak to the same spirit?
Yes.
Over and over through that box?
We have. Yeah. And then people wow. ask, have you spoken to relatives or people who have passed away? Yes, we have. Ron's spoken to both his mother and grandmother. He has it on recording. It's pretty phenomenal because it matches the voice that he remembers. But that's what caused us to slow down white noise, because when he first heard it, came in so fast, she said, Ron, what he heard was on. And he said, yeah, it's on. But then he slowed it down, just the recording, and he could hear the full sentences, what she was saying. That's when we implemented the live white noise filtration to slow it down in real time.
Does there need to be any point of contact with that particular spirit? And what I mean by that is, like, in mediumship, you usually have a sitter, and that sitter is kind of like the doorway to communicate. It's like a three-way conversation. You got the sitter, and then that spirit comes to that person because they know them. There's like a connection there.
Yeah. The connection is still there. When I was talking about Marcello Bacci and them removing the vacuum tubes, yet he'd still get voices. The only thing they could remove to make the voices stop were Marcello. When they took him away, the voices stopped.
Really? It's interesting. So I do have a personal question before we end this. Sure. Has any of this changed or altered your beliefs about the afterlife? And how so? Has any of this changed you as a person?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, those changes probably started 14 years ago. I mean, when I didn't believe anything about the paranormal and thought it was all, you know, random thoughts of ridiculousness, and my wife dragged me into it. I mean, I can probably think of 50 different things that where I went, okay, big change, big change, big change. And that happens along the entire path. But again, if we look at life the way that we look at it, that it's a learning, a growing, a development of the consciousness or the soul or the spirit or whatever term you use for it. This was obviously the growth for my particular life this time around. Because, yeah, it's made me look at things differently. It's made me question things, scientific things, religious things, you name it. You got to wonder, even with stochastic resonance, how's that energy being passed? Is it coming at the speed of light? Is it, you know, how, you know, and what that could do to things like, well, we have fiber optics today, but which is the same concept, the information being transmitted through light rather than through wire cable, which heats up. But is that how, because there's no time aspect when we ask a question, that answer just appears. And who knows where they are, but that whole time and space goes away, becomes non-existent.
Tony, it's been such a pleasure to have you on this show. I really enjoyed this conversation. I need another hour to talk to you.
Anytime.
So what do you have coming up, and where can people find you?
Lots of stuff coming up. We're doing two Paracons coming up in April. We'll be at the Ghost of Globe, April 12th and 13th. We'll be at the Tombstone Paracon in Tombstone, Arizona, the 25th, 6th, 7th, 8th, I think, or whatever weekend that is. They can find us on YouTube under Entity Voices. They can find us on YouTube under Staticom. They can find us at entityvoices.com or on our partner site, GognacParanormal.com or Gognac Paranormal website, Facebook. We've got multiple places where you can look at other clips. The Staticom YouTube has clip after clip after clip of things we've captured.
Well, Tony, thank you so much for taking the time and sharing.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Gateway, your portal to the unexplained and mystical and the otherworldly, broadcast live from United Public Radio Network 107.7 FM New Orleans. You can find me online or on social media to find out the latest that I have going on. I'm about to release a whole lot of artwork soon. Please visit me at www.clthomas.org. Until next time.